This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
PWM, Protecting What Matters, is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our history, institutions, and local treasures who are notable and worth preserving. That are notable and worth preserving. Today's show features Ashley Wilkins, CFP, Senior Wealth and Portfolio Manager of the Rice Partnership. They are wealth advisors for individuals and families, foundations, and endowments. And they've been doing this for over 30 years, serving clients in California and Hawaii. Again, our call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So I'm going to do the opening patter story this week because I kind of got cut off at the end of the show last week. And I think this is really important. And I think the headline of this story is a question. And it's, will San Luis Obispo County become the next San Francisco? As I started at to end the show last week, they have deployed National Guard and CHP into the streets of San Francisco to take care of all the drug dealing and homelessness in the city, the once beautiful San Francisco. Now, Mayor London Breed said using CHP officers of the National Guard as support to curb drug trafficking is the aggressive step the city needed to take. Well, when you read a little further, you find out that this aggressive step just consists of 6 CHP officers and 14 National Guardsmen.
In the whole city of San Francisco. That's pretty aggressive.
A fellow by the name of Lieutenant Tracy McCray, Vice President of San Francisco Police Officers Association, thinks it will make very, very little difference. Well, let's move on to San Luis Obispo County. A couple of weeks ago, in Mike Brown's CoLab Review of the Week, he talked about some of the budget, the homeless issues. And actually, I highly recommend you go to the CoLab website and read his report from 2 weeks ago on what they're doing on homelessness in the county. Now, I want to remind you that Bruce Gibson promised us over 10 years ago that he was going to take care of the homeless problem in the county, and it's only gotten worse. But you should read.
Maybe that's what he meant by taking care of it.
Yeah, he's taking,
make it bigger. Grow
it. He's taking care of us. The fact is again, this is a great report from Mike Brown. And the upstart of it is that the county staff is proposing increasing the general fund contribution to homeless programs from $2.8 million this year to $7.6 million next year. This is almost a $5 million increase. How is this money going to go to any better end than the money we've spent over the last 10 years? And incredibly, folks, we have a somewhat permanent homeless population in the county of about 1,450 people. And between our money from the county, it's all our money, really, state, federal, and county money, Medicaid and Medi-Cal transfers, okay? The fact of the matter is that each of these homeless people is costing us $108,000 per year. So again, is this additional funding going to come at the expense of our roads and our public safety?
I bet you $108K is probably the salary and benefits of a law enforcement officer.
Easily,
or if not higher,
it could be higher.
Yeah.
It could be higher. Oh, anyway, so that was the end of that story, and I think we need to hold our County Board of Supervisors accountable for taking care of the taxpaying citizens in this county before we keep inviting homeless people to be living on the beaches in their RVs and being taken care of. So that's my two cents. So Ashley, welcome back to Protecting What Matters. You were one of our first guests.
I think she was our very first guest.
You could have been.
Yep.
And you called in that time, but we're happy to have you in the studio. It's much better.
I'm happy to be here in the studio.
Well, great. So listen, I've gotten away from the big set piece introductions. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the Rice Partnership, and what is your firm's unique value proposition?
Yeah, so I'm Ashley Wilkin, as you said, a CFP, Cal Poly grad, ag business, and I also got my MBA from Cal Poly. Started working here in SLO County as a ag lender, and then did commercial real estate lending, and then came back to work for my family's firm, the Rice Partnership, which my mom established in 2005. So we're a multi-generational family-owned company, and we serve multi-generational families is our, you know, a big part of our business. But we work with clients in transition. So whether that's transition between generation to generation, transition between working to retirement, or transition between, you know, being married to being divorced or widowed, those are, you know, where we can really add value to clients in that time of their life.
That makes real sense, actually, since people are doing transitions all the time. Let's talk about the three basic steps to starting and nurturing any financial plan.
So first, my compliance team, I have to say, this is not investment advice. This is my opinion, and my opinion can change at any time. And, you know, listeners should contact their own investment manager for specific advice to them. But this is, you know, kind of what I lovingly call the back of the napkin financial plan. And really, it's just a lot of times people just want to know, you know, what can I spend or how much do I have to have saved by the time I retire? So an easy way to do that is, you know, figure out what your monthly expenses are, what they're going to be when you retire. So is your mortgage going to be paid off or not? And then, you know, so once you have that number, what you need, you just subtract whatever income you're going to have coming in. So Social Security, if you want to bet on that or not, depends probably on how old you are. Any pension income, you know, so you subtract that, and then whatever's left is how much monthly you need to come up with on your own. So, you know, for easy math, let's say you decide you need $5,000 a month, you have $1,000 coming in from Social Security, you need $4,000, you know, to come up on your own. A widely agreed upon withdrawal rate for an investment account is 4 to 5%. So if you need $4,000 a month, then you need $1 million to retire. So whether you have that million when you're 50 or when you're 70, you know, that depends on how much you save and how it's invested and all that, but that kind of gives you a ballpark of a number that you need.
That's great.
That's great. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about, and this was new to me, was this whole target date funds that I know you're not too excited about, but, you know, they kind of look to me like robo-investing. Could you tell us what a target date fund is and how they work and why you don't like them?
Yeah, so target date funds, you know, if you have a 401k, you probably know what a target date fund is. It's usually one of the options you get when you enroll in a company 401k plan. A target date fund basically takes the year that you want to retire, you plug in that year, and then your asset allocation will change gradually over time as you get closer to that target date, meaning target retirement date. And when you turn, you know, when that year comes, you're going to be in a more conservative asset allocation than when you started. So eventually over time, it slowly ticks you more conservative year over year. I don't like it because I don't think that just because you reach a certain age that you should be in a, you know, a more conservative asset allocation. What matters more is what's your cash flow going to be and what's your risk tolerance? You know, you both might be the same age, retiring the same year, but, you know, one of you might have a pension and inheritance, and one might, you know, need to be taking money from your 401k on day one. So everyone's situation is totally different, and that's why I don't like target date funds, because I feel like it's a blanket approach to something that's very personal.
Yeah, like, especially with financial planning, one size fits all is not going to cut it. Right?
No. Yeah. And robo advisors are better than target date funds, because robo advisors usually ask you a bunch of questions about your cash flow, about your risk tolerance, and it takes all that data and then suggests a asset allocation. So it takes it a lot further than a target date fund.
Got it. Well, and it looks like from a little bit of research I did on this, that these target date funds are also more expensive than other types of mutual funds, and you don't have doesn't look like you can make mid-course corrections on them either.
No, so you're as long as you're in that target date fund, you are giving up control on your asset allocation, but you can change it. So usually if you have a 401k, you know, if you're in a target date fund now, you can change your investment to something else. And one thing that people should look at is what are the expense ratios in the different funds? And you can find that pretty easily.
Great. That's interesting that something that's so automatic would have a higher rate than something that the, you know, a financial advisor or someone has to really think through and process, you know, do a lot more processing to get you the results.
Yeah. So target date funds, I guess, are considered more active management, even though, you know, it you're kind of set on a path. But there is some manager there deciding what your asset allocation should be depending on your age. So that's where they're charging the fees.
Right. So we're coming up on the break here, but let me set this up a little bit. You know, our next conversation after the break is going to be on environmental social governance investing. And interestingly enough, you know what? I'll hold that thought and we will come back and get into the topics of ESG investments. This is a very target-rich environment that we've looked at before. So stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Biden and House Republicans remain at odds over raising the nation's debt ceiling. Speaker Kevin McCarthy says time is running out.
You've got to pass the Senate and pass the House. You need like 10 days.
Well, today's negotiations come as the country is once again up against its legal borrowing limit. Congress must raise the debt ceiling or risk defaulting on its loans. House Republicans have passed a bill to raise the borrowing limit, but it includes spending cuts. That's been a deal breaker for Senate Democrats.
The two sides have found a couple areas of agreement on clawing back unused COVID funds and also possibly permitting reforms as Republicans still push to unleash American energy. But the White House is resisting efforts to cut Biden's signature programs like the Inflation Reduction Act and its funding for IRS agents.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich reporting from the White House. America is listening to Fox News.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company, serving the Central Coast for over 50 years with all your garage door needs, residential or commercial. Hammond has the right door system for any application. As a local, family-owned company, Hammond Overhead Door Company is committed to providing the superior products you want and the personal service you deserve. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Are you tired of spending your precious time cleaning your home or office? Let Made in Slow Cleaning Services take care of it for you. Our team of experienced professionals is dedicated to providing a safe, secure, and sanitized cleaning services that are tailored to meet the unique needs of our senior citizens, residential, commercial, and busy adults. Whether you need a one-time deep cleaning or ongoing maintenance service, we're here to help. So why wait? Contact Made in Slow today to schedule your appointment and experience the peace of mind that comes with a clean, safe, and secure environment. Contact madeinslow.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Ashley Wilkin, CFP, Senior Wealth and Portfolio Manager of the Rice Partnership. Our call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So just as I was saying, this morning we're going to be talking about environmental social governance investing. This is a topic that we've covered before, but interestingly enough, on the morning exchange, a very sharp caller called in to talk to Kevin and Dick about this topic. And I actually did some research after listening to him, and we'll intersperse that as we go through. Now, real quickly, an article in the Real Clear Wire, which is part of the Real Clear Politics website, there was an article from yesterday or today, and basically the title tells the whole thing, ESG is digging a deeper and deeper hole for itself. And the comment early on in the article was ESG funds haven't done much incremental good. In other words, incremental good is supposed to be, you know, environmental and social justice, basically. And, you know, and also they haven't done very well as far as investments. So Susan's got the first question. Take it away.
Yeah. So first, Ashley, if you'd explain, what is ESG, or environmental social governance investing?
Yeah. So ESG is exactly environmental, social, and governance. So there's a few different firms that are judging companies on these three topics. And, you know, they have an independent score on each of the three segments. And then their combined score, you know, rates them on whether they're whether they can be in an ESG fund or they're not. So Morningstar, for example, is one of the big firms that rates companies on these three subjects. Some of the issues, you know, and the SEC has definitely come down on ESG funds recently, because there's two main issues, in my opinion, about ESG. So, you know, how much good have they done? And that goes to, you know, individual client preference is, you know, as a wealth manager, my client's values might not line up with what Morningstar says is something that's, you know, right, good for the environment, you know, social and governance. So it kind of takes another blanket approach to something that can be very personal. You know, what you think is good for the world is not the same thing that, you know, someone else might think is good for the world. So I think, you know, when it comes to someone's values, you can't just throw a blanket ESG, you know, number to that. And then the second thing is that there's companies that are kind of greenwashing is the term that's been thrown around, where they do things to make their score better, but it might not be underlying, you know, improving the company. They're just doing things to make their score seem better. And then, you know, kind of the third thing is a lot of the companies that you'll find in a regular index fund are going to be the same companies that you see in an ESG fund. So if a client is going to go into an ESG fund, which I do have clients that invest in ESG, but I want to make sure that, you know, they know exactly what they're getting into, and they should know what the underlying companies are.
Right.
So it's basically a social credit score for investing.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're getting credit for things that they're doing, you know, having a diverse board, their, you know, what they pay their employees, the benefits. You know, there's hundreds of different.
Do they recycle their used paper?
Yeah, and I don't know what every little thing that they get judged on, but yeah, they're getting judged on these specific things. So there's definitely room for manipulation, which is part of the problem, and that's why the SEC has come after these scores.
So I was always under the impression that when you invest your money, you wanted to maximize your return. Am I naive here?
I think that's one reason.
Old and naive. How's that?
I think, you know, there's also there's two things. You know, you want to maximize your return and make sure it fits into your financial plan. But at the same time, you know, people are getting more aware of where their dollar's going, you know, and what company you're putting your money into. And those, you know, those are the conversations that we're having. And like I said, just because it's, you know, ESG, that doesn't always mean that that's the right thing for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would say it seems to me the ESG slant is much more towards the left, this whole green agenda. And is that true?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. Okay. I think a lot of the companies that you would see, I mean, Walmart, Apple, Microsoft. I mean, a lot of the big companies that you would see in any kind of index fund are also going to be ESG.
Okay.
The huge difference that I've seen and the underperformance comes from, you know, not being invested in a lot of energy companies. So ESG funds, you know, aren't going to own a Chevron or an Exxon. So you've seen the underperformance when, you know, those companies are doing well, the oil companies are doing well, then the ESG is going to underperform. But when oil doesn't do well, then your ESG fund is probably going to outperform. So in my opinion, you know, what I've seen is it kind of goes opposite of whatever the oil's doing. Hmm.
So, okay. I mean, based on the last few years of these funds, it appears that the ESG funds have underperformed the S&P, let's say, by at least half, it looks like.
Yeah, because oil's done well in the last
few
years.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it was 2020 when, you know, oil didn't do good, that's when the ESG funds did really well.
Right.
So, but yeah, over time, yeah, they've underperformed.
It's because we locked everybody down. Nobody was going anywhere, right?
Yeah. So I just want to, you know, when clients tell me that they want to be in ESG, I just want to make sure that they're very aware of what's going into it. And you know, the SEC, they're trying to figure out how to make it better. But right now, it's still a lot of work to be done in that area.
Are there any specific companies or funds you'd stay away from at this point?
You mean as far as like ESG managers?
Yes.
I think when you're looking at any kind of manager, you know, you got to see the performance, the history of that manager, again, what the fees are, how big the fund is, you know, things that I would look at for in any fund, you want to make sure you're right, vetting.
Actually, that brings up an interesting question that I don't think we've talked about specifically, but there are so many huge funds managed by specific groups of people. When you're looking at a specific client, do you often use these funds as opposed to individual stocks? Is it just easier, or is it?
It depends on the client. Right. It depends on the part of the portfolio. It depends.
Right.
I would, you know, one thing to be aware of is an active versus a passive fund. So a passive fund is going to be your index fund, where it's just following an index. So a S&P 500, a Russell 1000, Russell 2000, 3000. Those are all passive funds that it's just going to follow the index, versus an active fund, something where there's someone behind the scenes actually making decisions on, you know, what belongs in the fund or not. And that's where ESG falls into more of the active, because there's a manager saying, you know, this belongs in the ESG fund, this doesn't. And when you have an active fund, that comes with higher fees. When you have a passive fund, usually those are going to be lower fees.
So there was actually, and I know you haven't had a chance to look at this article yet, but it was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal this morning. And I will make this available to any listeners if you want to email me, and I'll tell you how to do that in a second. But the title of the article was the ESG proxy vote ranking. The question is your asset manager voting based on the interests of investors for their political agenda? And this article ranks the various different, like the top 40 funds out there, and I won't go into the details of this. If you get the Wall Street Journal, read this. It's very enlightening. And also, if you don't get the Wall Street Journal, if you email me at info@blazenbear.com, I can send you a free link. Okay, this is really important, because these are really household names of big investment groups, and most of them are not getting very good ratings.
There's a lot of things that can be improved upon, and that's that's industry wide, and you know, but there are a lot of investors that want to be invested in ESG. So a lot of the managers, you know, it's kind of like you have to be in the space a little bit, even though it's still a work in progress.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when these active and, you know, the team that's managing these funds, they're sitting there saying, well, the investors could get 6% if we did this, but because these guys are invested in oil, we're not going to do it, and therefore they're going to get 5%.
Yeah, they're not looking at returns. I mean, in my opinion, in my what I think is, I don't think they're looking at returns. They're just looking at ESG scores.
Well, and here's the follow up. The listener that called in this morning to the Morning Exchange referenced a current Senate bill in the California State Senate, SB 252, and this is a bill that's a follow-up bill to a previous bill, and I'm just going to really quickly read this. Existing law prohibits the boards of public employee retirement system and state teachers' retirement systems from making new investments or renewing existing investments in coal. Okay, now this went into effect a number of years ago, and I think it looks like 2018. However, this new bill would prohibit these public employee pension plans from investing or renewing investments in anything fossil fuel related.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so here's the problem with this, of course. It's obvious to anyone. We have a lot of public employees here in the county who are living off of their retirement money. If those retirement funds can't be competitive, your retirement income is at risk. And all the hard work that people like Ashley are doing is going to go in the tank, right?
Yeah, I mean, I, I, as I've said a lot, I think investing is personal, and you know, for the government to say that, you know, put, kind of throw a blanket over the whole thing is, you know,
tell you what you can and cannot invest your own money in.
So I would suggest I would suggest to our listeners that they write to our state senators and state assembly people to oppose SB 252 for their own sake. So anyway, let's shift over to beauty bonds. They're looking more attractive now, aren't they?
Yeah, for high income, you know, high tax bracket investors, muni bonds are more attractive now.
We have a call in. Welcome to Protecting What Matters. How can we help you today?
Hi. What you just were bringing up, I thought was very interesting. CTE, this group that's trying to take over for the county and a bunch of cities, I guess Paso is one of them, it already has, because it's green energy. How they get some of their energy is from places that burn coal, because wind and solar is not, doesn't work at night all the time. So, I mean, they can invest in CTE and they're still getting your coal or your gas or whatever these horrible things are.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And the other thing to keep in mind, of course, is that the Chinese and the Indians, they're using coal. They're building a coal power plant every month or two, you know, and they're buying coal from all over the world.
I heard it was every day.
I don't know, but it's a lot. We're just hobbling ourselves. But thank you so much for your call. All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you so much. All right. So muni bonds. Tell us a little bit about you were saying.
Yeah. So muni bonds for, you know, people that are in high tax brackets, it's a way to get income that's federal and state tax free. So this would be, you know, shifting away from retirement accounts. This would be in accounts that are non-retirement accounts. So your trust or your individual account, because you get taxed on income out of those accounts. It's not a good thing for, you know, an IRA account or something like that.
All right. Well, we will, we're going to continue with muni bonds when we get back. Okay. Just quickly to finish that up. And then we will go into talking about discussing gold as an alternate asset class and protecting your cash and bank deposits. Stay tuned. Thanks for being with us.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading day on Wall Street with the Dow and the S&P ending in session lows. The Dow dropping 336 points. The S&P falling by 26 points. The NASDAQ, despite being in the green most of the day, ends up dropping 22 points for the session. Retail sales numbers for the month of April showing an increase after two down months, but the figures falling short of Wall Street estimates, dragged down by steep drop-offs in sales in sporting goods, hobbies, and home furniture. Home Depot's earnings report weighing on investors as the home improvement giant is set to see an annual sales decline for the first time since 2009. And Tesla stockholders will get their voices heard this afternoon as the annual shareholders meeting gets underway in Austin, Texas. CEO Elon Musk and his board set to face questions ranging from the electric automaker's succession plan to worries about softening demand for Tesla models. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Matt Napolitano, invested in you.
There are more identity threats than you realize. Even if you monitor your credit, only a little personal info needs to leak out. Like your social security number or password.
Or you to become a victim.
LifeLock alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions. But everyone can save up to 25% off their first year with promo code NEWS. Go to LifeLock.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Have you ever considered running for public office? Have you ever seen yourself as making a difference to improve public policy? Have you ever looked at your school board, water board, or city council and said, I could do a better job? That means you should be calling Paramount Communications, the Central Coast leading Republican political consulting firm. With a successful track record of electing fiscally conservative pro-business candidates to local office, Paramount Communications is the choice of candidates on the Central Coast. Whether it's strategy, direct mail, graphics, digital, television, or radio advertising, Paramount is your political campaign source. Their one-stop shopping approach saves money and time and ensures a smooth-running, successful campaign. If you think you have what it takes to enter the political arena, they want to talk with you. Call them at 831-595-8914 or go to winwithparamount.com and mention this ad for a free one-hour consultation.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Ashley Wilkins, CFP, Senior Wealth and Portfolio Manager of the Rice Partnership. And we were talking about muni bonds.
Yeah.
So suitability is for really for people who are looking for a safe return, tax double tax-free, and...
Yeah. So, and I have to remind listeners again, this is not investment advice,
okay,
and
okay,
this is my opinion, and, you know, they should contact their individual investment advisor. But in general...
I only play an investment advisor on the radio.
Yeah, right. So it's for high income, you know, taxable accounts. But we've, now that interest rates are, towards what we think is a peak, they were so low for so long. Now they're actually getting decent returns. So it's not a bad time to look at muni bonds as part of a diversified portfolio.
Okay. So what are the risks involved in muni bonds?
Yeah, so the risk is that the municipality goes bankrupt and isn't able to pay you the interest on, you know, or the principal back on your muni bond. You're, you know, a bond is a loan, so you're lending money to the municipality to do whatever, you know, project that they want to do, a school bond, a water bond, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, when we work with clients, we try to diversify across a lot of municipalities. And luckily for California investors, there's a lot of municipalities in California. So it's a, you know, it's a good state to be in as far as being diversified within the munis versus a smaller state, you know, where you have less options. Try to be diversified across this whole state, diversified between the different types of bonds, diversity, you know, it's how you lower your risk in any kind of asset class.
Are any of them like for one city? You know, I guess they are.
Right? Yeah.
Like
so
Los
each
Angeles.
One, yes, exactly.
Any city could just
so you could have
their own
the Paso Robles, you
right.
know, school yeah. bond, the, you know,
right.
San Benito County water bond.
But there's usually a basket of bonds and a bond fund, right?
So you can buy a bond fund. And so that then the manager is picking the bonds for you.
Okay.
Or you can have an investment advisor buy, you know, individual bonds for you.
What about this whole issue of Social Security taxation? I was unaware of that, that it could impact how much of your Social Security is taxed.
Yeah. So usually, the people buying muni bonds are in the high, you know, the higher tax brackets. So it's maybe not going to make as big of an impact versus, you know, if Social Security is their main source of income, then it would make, you know, more of an impact. So it's, you know, again, everyone's situation is totally different.
Is there an interest rate risk?
Yes. So, you know, along with any bond, you have interest rate risk. So if you buy your bond today and interest rates go up from here, then the value of your bond's going to go down.
Okay. But it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a good diversification play, really.
Yeah. So, you know, diversity is going to lower your risk. So I usually recommend balance between stocks, bonds, gold, you know, all the asset classes. And that's, you know, having everything into bonds is a huge risk because you have investment interest rate risk.
I guess the one thing that always holds me back is I see the way these guys are investing our money. And sometimes it's, it's for, you know, the cities and municipalities and all that, you know, that they're a risky crew.
Well, at least they're having to pay higher interest rates now, mm-hmm. so that's good for the clients that can invest in those.
So gold has really popped as an asset class. Tell us why, and what are your thoughts on the best way to get into that?
Yeah, so gold is an asset class where people usually go when they're scared of everything else. You know, when they're not optimistic on stocks and they're not optimistic on bonds, then they go to gold, you know, and not optimistic on cash or deposits and all that. So it's a safe haven for investors. So usually when things are volatile in other places of the economy, then gold will usually go up. But I have some interesting numbers that kind of, so year to date, the S&P is up 8.3%. Gold's up 10.5%. Over the last 10 years, the S&P is up 12.1% and gold's up 3%. So far this century, so century to date, the S&P is up 6.5% and gold's up 8.6%. Hmm. So I can make the numbers look good or bad depending on what time period I pick.
Right.
So again, you know, it just goes back to having diversification. And I think gold is a great way to add diversity to your portfolio. But, you know, whether it's, it has kept up with the S&P over, you know, the last century. So it has been a good source of value. But usually it's added as, you know, something to lower your volatility. And also gold has kept up with inflation since, you know, the beginning of time. I think since accounting was invented, it's kept up with inflation. So because inflation has remained high, that's another reason why people like gold.
It's really like a proxy, really, wouldn't you say, in many regards?
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's a reverse proxy because it's going to go up when inflation goes up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a good, I think over time, I don't know if it's exact, you know, correlation,
well, yeah, right.
You know, day to day. But I think if you look over a long time period, it has kept up with inflation.
Hmm. And there are a number of ways to invest in gold. So would you go over those pros and cons?
Yeah. So, you know, physical gold is the best way, we think. You know, you can buy actual gold coins. Make sure that you're using a reputable dealer because there's a lot of scams out there with gold. So make sure if you're buying physical gold that you go with a reputable dealer. You can also buy an exchange-traded fund that owns physical gold. And that's, you know, a lot more liquid. You don't have to take your gold down to the dealer and sell it. You can sell it over the exchange.
That's like GLD or something like that.
Yeah, GLD is one of the exchange-traded funds that owns actual physical gold in a bank in the UK, I believe.
So they do own physical gold.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So in that sense, it's again sort of like a REIT, sort of like owning real estate that you never actually touch.
Right. Yeah. The fund owns the gold.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about what about the gold miners?
Gold miners, I think, are in my opinion a little bit more risky because, you know, gold is a commodity. When you buy a gold miner, you're buying into an industry. You know. And there's a lot of risk with that. You know, what countries are the gold miners in? You know, what if that country decides that they don't want to, you know, mine gold anymore? You know, how easy is it to get permits? You know, who are the workers? You know, a lot of the people working in gold mines are union workers. And if the union goes on strike, then, you know, then there's a lot more risk to that than investing in the physical gold, in my opinion.
And it doesn't mean every gold mine is a gold mine, so to speak, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, there's a huge cost of getting into that business and all of that. And, you know, some of them are going to be more profitable than others.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to talk about precious metal IRAs on the next show, okay, because we hear a lot of advertising about that. But what about other precious metals like silver or platinum? What do you think of those?
Yeah, so, you know, again, depending on the investor, those are... could be good investments. The reason why we prefer gold is because silver and platinum have a lot more industrial uses. So depending on if the industries that use those precious metals are doing good or bad, that could affect the price more than gold, which is more of a pure precious metal play. You know, gold is used in some industries, but not as much as silver and platinum.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So you still think there's an upside, though, to owning gold?
Yeah, I think over the long term, you know, we're long-term investors. So I think over the long term, you know, that, you know, inflation, there's going to be inflation, whether it's at 6% or 2%. And, you know, there's going to be volatility. So gold is a good thing to have, you know, in both those instances.
Yeah, it's just kind of a hedge against everything else.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Cool. So let's talk about our last topic here, which is protecting the cash that we have. And everybody's concerned, of course. I mean, when you think about it, these banks that went down, they went down because of the interest rate risk of the bonds that they were buying, right?
Yeah.
So tell us what you have in mind as far as protecting people's cash and bank deposits.
Yeah. So, you know, FDIC insurance is, important, and it's, you know, FDIC insurance is backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And the other thing that's also backed by the full faith credit of the U.S. government is treasuries. Okay. Treasuries and FDIC insurance are the same.
Wait, go.
Stand by
on the call here. I didn't want to lose you. Go ahead, Ashley.
Banks have started adding, a thing where they have a network of banks. So, you can talk to your local banker and see a lot of them. If you have more than the FDIC insurance limit in your account, they can use a network to get you fully covered by FDIC insurance.
All right. Thanks, Ashley. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question?
Hi, my question is, what is the difference between investing in gold and a gold IRA?
You know what?
And I'll take my answer.
We'll take that up. Yeah, because the music is coming up. Okay, stand by. Thanks for calling. We'll be back.
I don't know what to do.
About what?
My wife wants to remodel the kitchen, but we don't have that kind of money.
Want to see what we did? Take a peek at this.
Wow, that looks great. Who did your remodel?
It's not a remodel. I had Espeak Painting paint our cabinets. Now they're like new, and they're my wife's favorite color.
Espeak Painting, huh?
Yeah, they're local, right here in Atascadero. They're easy to deal with, from the estimate all the way to the final brush stroke. And getting a quote was easy. I did it online. It's way cheaper than a remodel.
Then I better take a peek at this Espeak Painting.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife. Happy life.
You got that right.
Take a peek at Espeak Painting and get a beautiful new look for your cabinets without an expensive remodel. Espeak specializes in cabinet painting as well as residential exteriors, interiors, and HOAs. Take a peek at Espeak Painting. Book a quote appointment quickly and easily 24/7 at espeakpainting.com. That's SPEEKPainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane sales and service since 1936. Each year, their pre-buy program allows Delta Liquid Energy customers the ability to pre-purchase their expected winter requirements at discounted pricing. To learn more, call Delta 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
Looking to redecorate your home with a Western vibe? Come into Copper and Lace at Reminisce Antiques, 1344 Pine Street in downtown Paso Robles. At Copper and Lace, we have Western-inspired bedding, home decor, handcrafted leather table runners, and one of the largest selections of cowhides on the Central Coast. Be sure to think of Copper and Lace for all your Western-inspired decorating. Copper and Lace at Reminisce Antiques, 1344 Pine Street in downtown Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. The KPRL call-in line is 805-238-5775. We're going to wrap up the show here with Ashley Wilkin, and I think she's going to start by finishing up her thoughts on protecting your cash, and then we will answer the caller's questions regarding gold IRAs.
Yeah, so just on the FDIC insurance, banks have really they've caught up to the issues, with clients having over $250,000. And so they are able to up your FDIC insurance usually by using a network of banks. So, definitely something for people to look into with their local banks. And then there's also money market funds that are invested in U.S. treasuries. So as I was saying earlier, you know, you still have the full faith of the U.S. government in a money market fund if it's, you know, invested in treasuries. So
and they can always print some more money if they want, right? I yeah, love asking
Ashley
those.
I know. She has to be good.
Okay.
Officers.
All right.
Like us.
And we were going to save the gold IRA thing for another show, but why don't you go ahead and do a quick one on that?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not an expert on gold IRAs, but what I would say is, you know, you can buy ETFs that own gold within a regular IRA account without specifically opening a gold IRA. And then another thing, you know, just in general, as I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't, you know, usually never recommend any client go into one asset class. So, you know, putting all your money into gold is not a strategy that I would usually recommend. And, you know, again, this is my opinion. And
right.
I can change my opinion.
Well, everything's shifting every day. Right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You have to be constantly looking at all the changes and trying to keep your clients up on these changes.
And then another just general comment, you know, I would be careful about things that are advertised on TV because advertising takes a lot of money and they're usually charging high fees in order to do all that marketing. So make sure that you know what the fees are in any kind of investment that you're going into. And also, you know, just in general to be diversified.
Well, and I think the point of the gold IRAs is these are gold dealers, people who are selling physical gold, and they now have a way that they can put that, you can do that and then keep it in your IRA with these people. I don't think though you get to actually hold that gold in your hand, you know? So again, I agree with Ashley here. I mean, I think, you know, your better play is to just use an ETF or exchange traded. No.
ETF. Yeah, you're right the first time.
I know. All right, fine.
Stick to your radio.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay. Ashley, we always have so much to talk about, but obviously we'll have you back if you can put up with me. How can our audience get in touch with you, though, in the meantime?
You can go to our website, thericepartnership.com. We have office in Paso, office in SLO.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully you can stay for the next few minutes. And if we get a call, your call-ins are welcome.
Of course, I'll stay.
Ashley will be here for the close of the show. I wanted to let you know that next week's show will feature Robert Jacobs and Allison Platts Velasquez of Delta Liquid Energy. There we are, back to energy here. Robert is the Director of Government Affairs for Delta, and Allison is the Director of Marketing and Sales. And they are going to be talking about all the stuff that the wonders of propane and their activities with trying to save your gas stoves and other appliances that the federal government and the state government seem so adamant about taking from you. So anyway, we do have another energy related story here, and I'm going to let Susan take that and close out the show.
This is about offshore wind generators, or windmills as they're called, that is being proposed right here on our coast. It looks like it's kind of off the coast of Cambria, but it will have massive impacts on Avila Beach and so on. This is one where I have to control myself because this stuff makes me crazy. I've talked before about how they're doing all these windmills off the coast of New Jersey and New York and all the whales that are dying, which makes me nuts because people that say they're here to protect the environment are actually destroying the environment in so many ways. The part that frosts me the most is that our county, San Luis Obispo County, is not even at the table on this. This is being run completely by the Coastal Commission and the State Lands Commission from the state of California, and they are just saying this is what we're going to do. And, of course, they're promising all kinds of money and jobs and bigger bureaucratic budgets for the people in this area who will actually administer the funds. But these windmills are gigantic. They are as high almost as the Eiffel Tower when they're fully built.
Wow.
Well,
this is not only is it horrible for the environment, which is the most important, but they're ugly, and our beautiful coastline could be marred by these things.
Right. and they kill birds, they kill fish, they leak, basically they leak oil into the ocean. And when they once they're used up, because they don't last forever, they can't be put into a normal landfill.
They're not recycled.
They're not recyclable at all.
I know. It's like, hello, this makes a lot of sense. And they already have a study right here with the pictures of how this can affect the ocean circulation, the water temperature, all the plankton that live in the ocean that feed all the fish all the way up the food chain to the whales, and the health of the whales, which has already been demonstrated to cause them to lose weight. Some of their babies don't survive. But yeah, let's do it. Makes me crazy.
You're banging the table.
Sorry, I banged the table again. I am a table banger when I get upset.
I know. Well, and I think another couple important pieces of this. First of all, this story came again from the Mike Brown's CoLab weekly newsletter. And I'm sure they have it on. I'm guessing that they have it online. But number one, it's interesting that the Coastal Commission can hold up a homeowner from repairing a set of stairs that goes down to the beach, but they have now given, for years, decades. And in fact, I mean, we had a friend who had a property out on Cayucas that overlooked the ocean. It was gorgeous. And the Coastal Commission held them up, wouldn't let them build, because a boat passing by could see what they were going to build.
And they would build a gorgeous home. Yes. We know these people. They're artists and just amazing. Yep. But the boat owner driving by had more rights than the landowner.
Yep. So anyway, this is a really important story for the county. Remember, Blazon Bear Insurance Services is here to help you protect what matters most with the strategic use of life, disability, long-term care insurance, fixed annuities, and business valuation. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for being with us. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry@blazonbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.